You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support.
Hooray! Delicious Volume 1, Life Tastes Good, is finally at Amazon, United States. What is delicious, you ask? Imagine a land where all your favorite foods live as human girls. Here in charming a la carte, under the floating city of heavenly delight, we meet Ramen, a young cook trying to run a restaurant with her family of pastas as they end up in all sorts of wacky adventures and hijinks as these strong, eccentric characters pursue their dreams and passions. Delicious is a beautifully drawn comedy series which is now finally available to buy in the United States. Click on the banner on One of Us, order today, and join in the fun now because Delicious Volume 2, Yum Yum Yum, is coming really soon. A perfect gift for your child or those of you who are forever young at heart. One of Us strongly recommends this one.
Everybody, welcome to the Screener Squad. I'm here today with Frank and Kim. Say hi, you two.
What's up, guys?
Man, I always get caught with that being literal stuff. There's always one of you in every group.
I think Shirley would appreciate that.
Today, we're talking about the biopic of Shirley Chisholm, who was the first African-American woman in Congress, and she was the first woman and African-American to seek a presidential nomination in a time where being black was still kind of a pain in the ass because white people were a bunch of dicks about, you know, equal rights and stuff. She had a drive and an ambition, and even at her lowest moments, she still had the determination and will to keep moving forward. Even though everybody told her it was impossible, she didn't accept that, and she got very close. And that's what this story is. It doesn't get into her whole life. It was very interesting, like the way the movie starts out. It's basically the first day she's in Congress. We're introduced to her mannerisms and the way she deals with, you know, racist old white men. And I think the film does a very good setup in the beginning, even though it kind of feels like you're thrown into like, she's elected, but now she's going to move on and try to run for president. I think the movie does a really good job of setting the scene and the tone for why she's going to do it.
Oh, I really, really do not want to disagree with you on the first point you made, Chad. I'm so sorry about that.
It's okay. But disagree with me.
I completely disagree. I feel like the movie set itself up, not for failure necessarily, but it did not set itself up for success, is what I'll say. And
true.
Ideally, I would have loved the movie to have started a little bit earlier, like maybe when she was in college, just so we could have got more of a understanding of her background and growing up as a young woman in politics and how she got to the position of a congresswoman. That would have really interested me. And they didn't do that at all. We, as you said, just started on, the movie starts on her day one of being elected as congresswoman. And then from that point, she has one small kind of like disagreement or like frustration with her position. They put her in charge of agriculture, even though she's a congresswoman for New York. So, you know, you can see the conflict there. And she argues that point. But my issue with the beginning is we don't see her being a great congresswoman before they start her presidential campaign. I would have loved to have seen her thrive as a congresswoman, do something positive for her community, maybe even have some younger generation people looking up to her saying, oh my God, you made me feel like I could be in a position like you. You gave me hope that there were more opportunities than what I thought of before. Just something like that, something to kind of build upon where I would have been endeared to her and I would have cared about her journey to becoming president, as it stands, you know, I'm a Black woman, so of course I care about the story just on virtue of that alone. But I feel like if you're coming into this movie, you know, from a different demographic, you might not be as interested in following this journey because we did not have that buildup of her character before we got straight into campaign debacles.
That's true. I mean, it does do a disservice that a lot of people don't know who Shirley Chisholm is. Me having historical knowledge going into this film, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, I know what part in the story we're at. But I agree with you. Like, there could have been a lot more to set up. I think especially too with the relationship with her husband.
Yeah, they set that up mostly with really awkward kisses. That was my first note of the movie of like, why did she kiss her husband like 7 times and the movie's only been on for 5 minutes? What's happening?
We know what happens with the relationship eventually, but the way it's set up to be like, oh, is there somebody else? It's very awkward and it's very clunky in the beginning. It feels like it pays off right at the end when we're getting like, okay, this is what Shirley did and this is what this person did.
But you had to wait like an hour before that paid off.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not a happy payoff, but like as far as a character arc goes, it makes sense. But it just kind of felt it was forced in there only to be like, oh, just as a reminder, their marriage sucks.
Well, I'm also going to disagree with you, Chad, because I also do feel like this jumps too far into the race. And I don't we don't need her childhood. We don't need how she got into a congressman. That's not what this film is about, honestly. But I do think we needed to have seen more strides that she made as a congresswoman. I mean, putting aside the fact that becoming the first Black congresswoman is a stride, a huge ass stride in and of itself. I was really excited to see what got her into the race. You know, there's a scene early on where she's called to run because of a promise she made or something that happened that we don't see. At least I don't remember seeing it. I think that was a pivotal moment that we were sort of robbed of. It was just now, okay, well, I guess she's running now. She decides to run early on. It sort of signifies that there is not a lot of nuance here, at least not as much as there should be for a story about a figure that was, you know, so monumental and so important. You know, I really did not want this to be a biopic, and it really isn't a biopic. It's a moment in this woman's life, but it falls into the trappings of the biopic in the sense that it just has a lot of greatest hits moments of this person's experience. And of course, the end result of that most often is what happens here, which is you do not have a complete whole story.
One of the reasons I signed up for this was that John Ridley wrote and directed, and he's a Milwaukee native, so hometown
all right, nice.
Hero of ours. He's very active, at least in trying to get art and production in Milwaukee specifically, but to me, it's the state in general. Also, I love Regina King.
Yes.
Yeah.
After this movie, I feel like I might like her more in comedic roles. You know, her roles in Miss Congeniality and The Boondocks.
Oh, wow.
I'm not dissing her. Frank, oh my God. I'm not saying that she's not a good dramatic actor.
That is a backhanded compliment in all caps.
Oh my God. That's not what I meant. I think she does a great job in this role. Her character wasn't written well enough for her acting skills to shine. So I really put a lot of the burden on the writers for her performance not really having enough life to it.
This is a very sketchily written screenplay, but I think the performance is exquisite. I think it's so impeccable. If you watched footage of the real Shirley Chisholm, she nailed it. She nailed it. And I know it's kind of like a safety cushion to fall on. Well, it was a good performance. And she nailed the accent. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But there's not a lot else here. There comes a point when all you have sometimes is performances. And she ultimately, toward the back half, is really the only thing that keeps this as watchable as it is.
It basically turns into, and I think somebody said greatest hits earlier, it paint by numbers, or it feels like each movement forward in time is just another set piece for Shirley to be in some situation where she overcomes adversity and makes it like a really cool speech. And they're great. I don't know. It keeps going and going and going until it doesn't, until she eventually loses.
But you know what? In the midst of all this, because so much of this is so stale, there's like a staleness here that's just, you know, like when you walked into a room that hasn't had air in it for a long time. But there are some pretty interesting, like, small visual flares and touches. I think I'm a guy who loves a montage. I love a montage. I do. I love my montages. And I think he managed to squeeze in a couple of great ones and a couple of really interesting edits as well.
Are you talking about the TV exposition montages? That was in my cons list. This movie had a lot of TV exposition montages where it would just like blurred out over cuts of different scenes of Shirley speaking in front of crowds, like where she was in her campaign. And I thought that was really frustrating.
For me, those transitions, at least the ones you're talking about, Kim, I didn't like how inconsistent they were as far as using real stock footage from the actual event or recreating it with new actors and stuff. Because it did... There were some moments of like real footage that was like news footage, and then other ones that they kind of, you know, made up to fit.
How did you two feel about the casting for this film, specifically Lance Riddick and Terrence Howard? They were kind of surprises for me to show up in this film, and they weren't given much to do, unfortunately. More so for Lance Riddick because it was probably one of his last performances. And I felt like they really underutilized him.
You go into this movie, the star is going to be Shirley Chisholm. So you kind of like everyone is going to be background for the most part. So I kind of went into that with that kind of mentality. And, you know, I mean, they're great background. They're great background. But it's her story first and foremost. So I wasn't expecting anybody else to have like really, really deep moments.
I'll say Terrence Howard was definitely better than the last movie I just watched him in. Skeletons in the Closet. Oh my God. Just like what a waste of his talent, his time. What's I think that? He was a producer on it too. It's a terrible horror movie that just does not know what it wants to be. So when he walked in, I'm like, oh God, is he going to ruin this movie for me too? And no.
Everyone's good in this. I think if there's one performance that does stand out a little bit for me, it's
Christina Jackson.
Yes, I thought she was pretty good. She has some really, really great presence. I also, and I think that maybe because Barbara Lee is, you know, still in her political career as we speak. Kids, do you guys know that? audience.
Who are you calling kids?
The audience. No, I'm just kidding. I'm 42. I call people kids now, Kim. That is what I do. That is your coming attractions. But I like kind of liked her scenes as a sort of Barbara Lee origin story. She in herself is, in a way, the legacy of Shirley Chisholm. And I thought that was not an easy assignment going in for a young actress. But I liked her. I liked her moments on screen.
I agree with you about Barbara. Once we got into her character, she was one of the kind of the most magnetic characters for me. Whenever she came on screen, I was paying more attention than some of the other ones. My main issue with her character was her introduction. And it's a very small issue. And it's just because we see her looking at Shirley from a crowd. And then the next scene we see her and Shirley sitting on a bench together. And I feel like this movie had a lot of jump scenes like that, where it was like, well, how did you two meet each other? You were just in her audience and now you're on a bench alone with her and she's offering you an opportunity to be a part of her campaign. I think it's those little introductory moments that we're really missing with a lot of the characters that would have helped me understand their connections.
We would have seen those in a limited series, but I don't think we'd have seen as many of those in a future film.
I think it could have been a quick 30 seconds of her just like following her down the hall like, hey, I'm really passionate about political stuff.
It would end up on the cutting room floor though, you know? Like well, it probably was
a mistake.
Shot.
I think that was a mistake because it was really jarring for me to just see one character looking at another character and then suddenly they're talking to each other. And Shirley is presumably a highly important person with like high security clearance, or she should be. No character should have this easy access to her so quickly.
Fun fact, you do not get security detail unless you're actually the nominee. I did not know that. I wish that this had been better told. I think Shirley Chisholm is amazing. What she accomplished in her lifetime is just pretty fucking cool, which is shortchanging it to the nth degree, I know, but it is. And it was. I had a friend of mine one time who said, if you succeed at something, write a book. If you fail at something, make it into a movie. I can kind of get why that's so, because it's not about, with the book, it's about the, really about the outcome, but and for a movie as well. But I think for a movie more so, it's about the moments that lead up to it. It's about the journey. Shirley had a pretty incredible journey. I think she knew she pretty much knew she wasn't going to win, but it wasn't about that for her as far as I could gather. It was about us pushing it as far as she could. And that's why when she has to finally stop, it just, it's devastating for her. That aside, the story is lazily told. It's messily told. It shortchanges the real Shirley Chisholm. And I'm sad about that. Her boldness and her tenacity and her ferocity. For better or worse, this movie is testament to that. So I'm going to go ahead and give this 6 out of 10 Diane Carrolls, because Diane Carroll pops up in this movie and I like Diane Carroll. She's pretty awesome. She was a great actress. She was in Dynasty, Claudine and Julia, and she's pretty cool.
I came into this film really excited to learn more about Shirley Chisholm, because I will be honest, I knew kind of her, you know, two-line bio going into it, that she was the first Black congresswoman and she ran for president. But other than that, I didn't have a lot of info about her backstory. That's part of the reason when we were introduced to her in the first scene of being congresswoman already, I was like, oh, I feel kind of like I'm missing a lot of that backstory that I came into the film wanting to learn about. And then after that point, I could see what Regina King was doing with her performance. Obviously, if you know what Regina King normally acts like, she was doing a really great performance at being another person in another time. So I can respect that. I do not think the writing for this role was not up to par. And it wasn't, like Frank said, what Shirley deserves for her story to be told. And so I'm going to be kind of harsh on it just because I want to see better for this story and I'd love for it to be redone again. But some kind of big things for me, other than missing out on a lot of the backstory, once we're thrown into the story, we're thrown into her being a congresswoman and running for president, we still don't really get a lot of those kind of minute character moments between her and her husband. She probably has the most, and she also has some with her sister. I would have loved to see more of that. And the reason I want to see that is because Shirley throughout the whole film is very bold and strong-willed and, you know, just going for what she you know, knows she has earned and deserved. And I'm sure in real life she did, but in the film didn't show us anything building up to this presidential campaign. We didn't see her working hard for it. It was, I think, 5 minutes into the film when the first person was like, you deserve to be president. And I'm over here like, well, what did she do to deserve to be president? I would have loved to have seen that. So, and this is, again, just a heavy critique on the film that it didn't show us this. They're just telling us over and over again, she deserves this. She's worked hard for this. And it's like, I would have loved to have seen a little bit of that. And then outside of that, I just felt like because she was so strong-willed and she never faltered, except maybe a little bit towards the very end of the film, but for the first like hour and a half, she never faltered on what she was trying to do. It made her somewhat unrelatable as a human to me, and I wasn't able to really have that connection with her character.
The intimate moments would have saved that, probably.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So for that reason, and I also think this would have been this story would have been a great limited series with different writers, maybe like 5 episodes, an hour long each, would have been brilliant on HBO or something. So maybe in the next couple of years they can, you know, try again and get it right. So for this for this particular movie, I think you guys know where I'm going with this. I'm gonna give it a 4 out of 10 Black Panther hats because I like them.
Coming from the perspective of Midwestern white male, and as a filmmaker, it definitely wasn't the best outing, but I did enjoy Regina King. I've loved her since The Boondocks. Definitely different for her, but I think she did as best as she could. Definitely not John Ridley's best work, But stories like this need to be told. And yeah, we can do better. But I definitely would push it towards like an audience of me, you know, like even though I knew who Shirley Chisholm was going into this, like not a lot of white folk know who she is. And even though it's not like to the T what her story actually is, I think it could at least be a jumping off point to be like, oh, wow, she did all that. And even though she lost, like she's still a badass. I want to learn more. So that would be my hope. I don't know if that'll actually happen, but I am forever an optimist. 5 out of 10 times George Wallace got shot.
Who played George Wallace? Is that Vincent D'Onofrio?
No.
I thought it was at first.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah. I'm like, damn.
I was telling my boyfriend, I was like, that's what D'Onofrio looks like now. Like, no. And like, I think that is him.
W. Earl Brown.
Oh, he's been in Deadwood. He's been in so many stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Preacher. There's something about he was Warren and There's Something About Mary.
Oh, of course.
He was Mary's brother.
Oh, yeah. Warren.
Oh, Warren.
That's where you at now.